Highline Radio, where the magazine that captures the spirit of the Bow Valley comes to life. Here are your hosts, Aaron Morose and Christy Davison.
Hey, welcome to Highline Radio. I'm Alan.
And I'm Kamara. We're filling in for Aaron and Christy.
This week on the show, we'll talk about fall mountain biking with Kevin Simpson.
But first, it's all about larches. I'm joined in the studio by Andre Guerreau, an information officer at the Banff Information Center. Thanks for joining me, Andre.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So what is a larch tree?
Well, a larch tree is a type of conifer. In other words, it's a tree with needles. And most people are familiar with conifers when they see spruce trees or pine trees. A lot of people talk about conifers being Christmas trees generally. But larch is a little special.
Before we talk about why they're so special, right now is a good time to check them out. Why is that?
It's because they're turning gold. Larch trees have needles, and most people are used to trees with leaves, which we call generally deciduous trees with leaves, turning gold or sometimes red if they're from down east, turning colors and then falling. So I guess that's why they call it the fall. But here we have trees with needles that actually fall.
Great.
And the larch is one of these examples of trees with needles that fall. And this is a good time, usually by about September 15th or 16th, all the way to about October 15th. It's the best time to see the larches turn gold. And then, of course, they'll lose their needles, and we won't see the larch needles until probably June.
Oh, and they are just bare until June?
They are. And some people think they look like dead trees. I've been, for example, in Sunshine Village ski area in the winter and overhearing people say, "Oh, isn't that sad? All these trees are dead." And they aren't. Those are larch trees that look like dead trees, but they're actually coniferous trees, trees with needles that have actually shed their needles for the winter, which when you think about it is a bit strange because the whole idea of having needles, in other words, coniferous trees have needles, is because you don't have to spend the energy developing and growing new leaves every spring. You basically can hang on to those needles for a long time. But that comes at a cost. And the cost is that you have to have a coating, usually a heavy wax coating on needles to prevent them from drying out. And in some places like the high mountains, right on tree line is where you find our larches, it's just so dry and cold in the winter that it turns out to be a better strategy, reproduction-wise, for these trees to just shed their leaves, or their needles, rather, in the fall, and grow new ones for the 3 or 4 months they actually need them.
And how abundant are these trees? I mean, are they so big that people do think that we have dying chunks of forest, or are they in smaller amounts?
Well, they're fairly abundant, but only in selected pockets, and they happen to be on tree line. We have a type of larch here in Banff called the Lyall's larch. Larix lyalli for you Latin fans, but it's a tree that's in the high alpine variety, and you find it on the tree line. So if you scan the mountains around Lake Louise, for example, right on the tree line, you'll see a golden fringe of trees, and you wonder what that could be, and it can't be poplar trees because poplar trees only grow lower down, and those trees would be the larch. Now, if you go down into – there's a different kind of larch you can see in the southern BC near Cranbrook, Creston. Cranbrook, Creston Road is a great place to see a different kind of larch which grows at a lower elevation. Okay. But out here, basically you have to be a tree line. I would recommend places like Lake Louise's Saddleback. Lake Agnes are good hikes to see the larches. And, of course, most people have heard of Larch Valley. Perhaps you've heard of Larch Valley on the Moraine Lake Trail. And the whole valley is full of larches.
Great.
And I've also mentioned the Sunshine area. You can hike to Sunshine or you can hike up to Healy Pass. And so lots of places to see larches. But you should probably talk to an information officer or somebody upstairs to find out where the best place would be to see larches. Because you almost have to know where they are, because if you just go looking around for them, you might miss them totally.
And where's your favorite hike to see larches?
Well, one of my favorite hikes to see larches actually is outside the national park called Chester Lake. And that's where I saw them last week. Went up to Chester Lake. It's south of Canmore, about 30 miles south of Canmore. and it's an easily hiked location. In Banff, I'd suggest that one of the easiest places to see larches would be to take the Sunshine Bus, which runs from the Sunshine Gondola Terminal every day until around October 5th or so. And you can actually get a pass and to go up there from the operators of the service that bring you into the Sunshine Resort. And then you can just hop off the bus and you're in the larches.
Perfect.
Or you can do a little hiking, maybe. I think there are very few places you can see larches without a bit of a hike. So it's always a bit of a reward for your efforts.
Definitely. And do you have a favorite larching story on the top of your head?
A favorite larching story? Well, besides the one that I keep hearing people say, isn't that sad? Those trees are dead. And I think you want to pat them on the shoulder and say, there, there. The trees aren't dead. They're just resting. And, you know, I think the other story I find is that people told me that one of their most memorable experiences was actually hiking at the end of September and walking. That year, the larches, a few years ago, the larches were blown down. The needles were blown down early, and there was actually a golden carpet on the ground. So people had never walked in Larch Valley in a carpet of gold, basically.
Definitely.
So this is your chance to walk in a carpet of golden needles or on the carpet of golden needle if you happen to be there when they're falling.
And is the needles, they fall with the deciduous trees, so everything's kind of golden in the area?
Well, the thing is, the deciduous trees aren't found where you find larches. That's
sure.
One thing. So it is an interesting idea that you can have down in the valley bottoms near Banff, you'll have quite a few numbers of deciduous poplars. The two kinds of poplars we have also turn gold. But those are kind of in the lower range. So we kind of like having a green sandwich. We have the firs and the poplars, firs and the spruces and pines, and those would be staying green all year. And down below you have a gold poplars, and up above, come think of it, you've got the golden larches.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think of the Rockies in the fall as being a golden greens sandwich.
And you had mentioned, we had talked about what makes them, you know, kind of special, but why should people make the trip out to see larches? What does it look like?
Well, when you think of needles, you always think of them being green. So the fact that you see the very special orange yellow of the larch is quite a special color in its own right. And you don't find them very often. You don't find them in very many places. So it's one of these fairly unique places. And go as far north, I would say, as Bow Summit. You won't find them much past Bow Summit, and you won't find them much farther south than probably Coleman on the number 3 highway. So it's only a couple hundred kilometers high, the band that you'll find these Lyle's larch are here.
In all of North America, or just in this area?
Well, that particular farm of alpine larch, yeah, I think pretty sure you find it here. You might find it in some of the high alpine of the U.S., I'm not sure.
Great. Great. Yeah. And if people want to find out more information, they should go to the info center on Banff Ave.
Or in the information center also in Lake Louise.
Mm-hmm.
And get out there while the weather is good and do a larch hike.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming and talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad I didn't leave you in the larch.
After the break, Kevin Simpson will join me to talk about mountain biking when the leaves are falling.
Highline Radio will be right back. Now back to Highline Radio. Here are your hosts, Aaron LaRose and Christy Davison.
You're back with Highline Radio. I'm Kamara.
And I'm Alan. We're filling in for Aaron and Christy. With the weather changing, some people might think that summer is done, but there's still lots of time to get out there and enjoy some more of those summer activities. To fill us in on one of those, I'm joined by Kevin Simpson from the Bow Valley Mountain Bike Alliance. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we've sort of passed peak biking season, but there's still got to be lots of time left for riding. When can you generally bike until around here?
In the park, it's really a wild card. You can have a long Indian summer like we're experiencing now with great weather through September and October. A lot of times we'll experience quick snowfall with maybe some pack on the trail. But generally, through till mid-October, end of October, especially on the road, it's really possible to get some great riding in.
Cool. And other than, you know, snow obviously being a difference, does the season make a difference when you're riding?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. First and foremost, the changing of the hours. A lot of people are really caught because it becomes dark somewhat earlier. Especially people in their cycle, they go for something in the daytime, maybe grab some dinner, think they're going to go for the bike ride, and sooners are on the trail, especially forgetting how the cover of trees really affects sunlight. And also the proximity of the sun with regards to when it goes behind one of our mountains, Sulphur Mountain, for instance. It goes behind Sulphur Mountain, and immediately a shadow is cast that they can't believe, and then they can't see anything. So a lot of people really kind of really need to understand that this is a changing season. The days are shorter. We can have some beautiful weather, but the night and darkness approaches much quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something definitely to be careful of. So keeping that in mind, where is a good place, or where are some good places to go riding in the fall?
Lake Minnewanka is probably your classic fall mountain trail. Parks Canada does actually a wonderful job of keeping that trail free of blow down, which is probably the number one thing that would slow you down on that trail this time of year. The nice thing about that is you're in the sun almost all day. You get long stretches of sunlight there. Great views. You can see weather coming in and going, which is a really thing to consider in the fall. Weather can change so fast here in the Bow Valley. But there you can really see, hey, the wind's starting to pick up. How far am I away? Which campground is my last reference? We really try to keep an eye on safety when it comes to this time of year because, yeah, we can get some great riding in, but you never know. But Lake Minnewanka is one of those classic, you know, Canyon Rockies trails, great visibility. You maybe see some sheep and some mountain goats, and that's definitely a great thing to do. The Rundle Trail to Canmore, either on the Bow River side or the Goat Creek side, are also great ones. Goat Creek, obviously, you're going to stay in the sun a little bit longer and experience some sunlight. Between those three trails, that's more than trails than most people can, you know, throw a stick at in one, even one weekend.
But what about people from Canmore? Is there any good riding in the Canmore area?
Absolutely. In Canmore, the Nordic Center is absolutely dialed for trails right now. There is 30 kilometers of new trails coming. A mix of family trails to technical single-track trails that are coming, and those are under construction right now. But the big change at the Nordic Center in the last couple of years is those folks done a really nice job marking some trails. The Orange Loop, that we call it, the locals call it the Orange Loop, it's marked with orange markers. That's a really classic trail. And also on the sunny side of the valley, over where the Blue Loop and the people would call the Alpine Club of Canada with the G8, those are in the sun all day long and are just classic trails right now. Just rode one the other day and beautiful leaves falling down the trails, and you know, you get that crunch of the leaves under your tires, and absolutely amazing.
It definitely makes for a bit of a fun atmosphere when you can sort of add some different sensations, like the sound and hearing the leaves. And
the smells, too. The smells change so much. You know, in the springtime, the smells are the first thing you notice after being kind of locked down by winter and ice. And then we take that for granted for almost for a while because you get that piney, you know, sap smell. And now it's been replaced by dry leaves, and the wind picks up the grass. And it's amazing. I'm glad you brought that up because it's very, very appropriate.
Absolutely. Now, I'm guessing that at this time of year, you know, when you're going hiking, you got to be concerned about elk. I'm guessing it's the same when you're out on your bike, too.
Absolutely. That's a really great point. Right now, the elk are approaching the rut, which means that the males are vying for their females. And because on a bike, you can really come up on elk fast. And what has really surprised me this year in Canmore, I'm not sure about Banff, but is just where the elk are. They really seem to be a lot more in town this year. They don't seem to be at this point worried about traffic and people, but as soon as the rut happens, it can be like a switch just thrown and bang, you approach them on a bike and a bull elk is not going to take kindly to you. Especially on a bike, you really look like a tall figure, you know, your arms are out and an elk just sees you on your bike and they're like, that is a threat to me and to my cow and any future calves we're going to have. So
what kind of precautions should people take to try and mitigate those confrontations?
Definitely making lots of noise and definitely being your eye open for them. Whereas some people maybe have taken it for granted, people who come back who've already been in the park before or have come to visit Canmore and then left, or even if you live here, you seem to take it a little bit for granted that there's always elk around. They're not much of a problem. But there really is this heightened area between, you know, mid to end September to mid to end October where the rules have changed completely, and we kind of take that for granted sometimes, you know, but we are in that situation and you have to really be prepared for it more than anything.
And now, is there anything else that people should be aware of when they go out riding in the fall?
Definitely, as far as the animals go, the bears and everything are not going to be as much of an issue. The bears generally will start to move higher. Now, what people can remember is if it get a really, really early snowfall, and we can see that because the tops of the mountains will be covered in snow. A lot of locals, what they'll do is they check webcams, such as the Sunshine webcam. If there's lots of high snowfall and high up, you can expect the bears are going to stay a little bit lower. You may encounter them, but they, you know, as they proceed out, maybe into end of October, we don't have to worry them as much. The biggest probably thing we need to worry about is the rapidly change of weather.
Right, and that can be a big deal, you know, because you can have huge variations. You can go from 0 to 25 or, you know, whatever in a day. What kind of things should people do to be careful about that?
First and foremost, make sure you're dressed for the weather you expect, not the weather you're getting right now. And you should expect the weather to be bad. We're sitting at 1,400 meters above sea level in the Rocky Mountains. Anytime after the September long weekend, you should expect that it can be bad. Dress that way, or at least have that in your pack. Have some warmer clothes with you. Have some food with you. A lot of people, their biggest problem when they get hypothermic is if they could get some food energy going in them, then they could actually help mitigate that a little bit. But definitely food and clothing, dress for what you expect, and always make sure your bike's in good running condition. A lot of people now, what we see a lot at the local bike shops around is that people have ridden their bike hard all year. Then they come out to ride a trail now, and their bike's maybe in less favorable condition because it hasn't been tuned up all summer. And then they get that classic breakdown that they didn't expect, and they're halfway to Coke Creek Trail between Banff and Canmore.
Right, and it's never good to be fun, or never fun to be stuck out in the middle of a trail and, you know, something on your bike is just not working.
No, and especially when you're looking at your watch, you know, I left Banff at 2 o'clock, now it's 4 o'clock. Oh my gosh, it's going to be dark in 2 hours. Can I really fix this chain that's broken, or should I just walk out? Or people really start to get a little bit more stressed about things when that happens. And then that classic, you know, sleet storm blows in, and next thing you know, they're trying to fix a broken chain and their fingers are shivering. And I always tell folks that I see, you know, they ask about, do I need a, you know, a chain break? Or what? And I say, I've never fixed my chain in nice weather. You know, I've always fixed it and it's been blowing snow sideways, or I'm getting eaten by a million mosquitoes, or you have to expect the worst in when you kind of take yourself out of the local downtown areas of our towns and move yourself into the backcountry.
It really is a bit of a push or a plug for just doing good maintenance on your bike over the summer. You know, I'm sure there's lots of people out right now going, well, is it really worth it? I'm going to put my bike away in a few weeks. Just one more ride. But you really need to take care of these pieces of equipment that you count on.
Right. That's a really good point. And I think a lot of people forget how great a riding there is. I know at Rebound Cycle, where I work in Canmore, we sell studded mountain bike tires. They're very popular. And you can get some of the best rides of the year, even into mid-November, when we don't have maybe so much snow, but we have that drizzly, icy covering of the trail. And with studded tires, you can ride longer. And so people now, they are coming in now for almost a fall tune-up to get their bike tuned up. And then that takes them right through till it actually snows and they put their downhill skis on or the cross country and they're gone.
Right. So just, you know, thinking in advance a little bit, when that time actually comes, when it is time to put the bike away, is there anything you should do with your bike before you put it away for the winter? Any preparation or anything?
Great question. And it sounds obvious, but most people bring their bikes in the spring and they're all dirty. They haven't done that classic, take it to the car wash, put a coin in, but don't necessarily press the trigger, and give it a good washing and give it a good wipe off. It sounds easy, but people somehow forget to do it, and their bike sits with that mud, especially on the forks, the front suspension, where you get that mud buildup that can just sit there all winter, and it's not good. And then the worst thing, the bike just sits. And so there's definitely the washing, I should be first and foremost. After that, filling the air up in the tires. A lot of people maybe don't even check their tires their last couple rides. The air naturally seeps out. By the time they come in spring, their tires are sat without any air. Their tires generally get ruined at that point. So that would be number two, check the air. And a lot of the new bikes don't like to be hung upside down, just simply because it puts a lot of pressure on the seals. They're filled with oil. Oil can somehow leak out. So storing your bike properly is a really nice thing. Maybe hang it on the garage wall as opposed to hanging it by the wheels. You know, that classic Jerry Seinfeld style. You'd always see his bike hung up with the two wheels hanging upside down. We don't necessarily like to do that so much, but definitely getting it checked over. And
But it is okay to hang it, just like I've seen people who hang just by the front wheel or just the back wheel.
That's definitely the way you want to do it.
Okay.
And you'll find that in your garage, that will be probably the most economical way from a space perspective. Normally your garage was going to have studs on 16-inch centers. You can put a bike hanger that you described there on each stud and hang one bike front wheel, one bike rear wheel. And you can get a lot of bikes in, and that's really, really the best way to store your bike.
Yeah, good to know. And over the winter, I'm sure most people put the bikes away and put on the skis. Is there any opportunity for riding in the winter at all?
A lot of people do ride 12 months a year. What you'll find is below about -5, that's kind of your threshold of where your bike is going to work properly, especially in a bike with a rear derailleur, with shifters. After that, your bike starts to seize up. But obviously here in the Bow Valley, we're fortunate enough that we have great windows of great weather. So down until, let's say, -5, -10 maximum, there's lots of places where the trails are packed. And on the Alpine Club of Canada in Canmore, there's so many runners and joggers and even bike riders that the trails get packed fairly well. And with studded tires, you really can go and have a good ride. The road, let's not forget about the road. I mean, Parks Canada does an unbelievable job of keeping the shoulders clean, which I think a lot of people don't realize, but we get so much gravel and salt and sand put on our roads, and Parks Canada goes out very, very quickly in the springtime, and even if they've have that classic, snowfall in the spring, it gets covered again, they'll clean it again and into the fall. So road riding as well is amazing, and I find that road riding is becoming a destination now for people coming and wanting to ride around the area here on the 1A. Of course, we've got the grant to do the trail from Canmore to Banff. That'll be completed next year in conjunction with Banff's birthday. And that is really going to open things up, even from riding. You get that winter ride in, maybe on a little bit of a packed trail, but a paved trail that's packed with snow.
Right, and that it's always nicer when, there's a little bit of something supporting you to get packed down on.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And so there's lots of opportunity to ride. Again, I think studded tires would be your almost prerequisite. There's a lot of times you'll find trails here, and because we get these breaks of sun where there is completely dry and people say, oh, this is great, and they come around a corner and it's sheer ice. So definitely, I think anytime you want to do that, you want to have studded tires. But most bike shops in the Bow Valley are going to have access to those tires, and you want to buy a fairly good set. And in my experience, the cheaper sets, let's say ones that are $30 a tire, don't really last that well, where if you spend up to $80, $100 a tire, which sounds like a lot of money, but they're tires that you're going to be able to use over and over, year to year to year, 3-4 years of lifespan. You really start to divide that by the number of uses. That gets pretty cheap, and it gives you access to a lot of riding that you would necessarily not have done before.
Right. That's good to keep in mind. But even before we get there still is lots of riding in the fall, so make sure you get out and enjoy
out there
while you can.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, thanks a lot, Kevin, for coming by and talking about it with me today.
Thanks a lot.
We want to know where you'd like to ride in the fall. Give us your favorite fall biking story by calling the feedback line at 403-762-1536 or email us at info@highlineonline.ca.
And don't forget, you can catch all our shows on the podcast at friendsofbanff.com. Plus, check out the latest magazine at the website highlineonline.ca.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in next week for another Fix a Highline.
Highline Radio, from the creators of Highline Magazine. Visit them online at highlineonline.ca.